Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Great to sit with you. So, planning this talk, I got mixed up. I created a talk on Kiddushim, holiness, which is right in the middle of the whole Torah. And there's a wonderful teaching about how holiness is right in the middle of the book of Exodus. The book of Leviticus, sorry, and in the middle of the book of the, which is the middle book of the five books of Moses. And so my point was supposed to be that holiness was literally at the center of the teaching of the Torah. And at the center, it contains the line, "You are holy because ani, I am kadosh, holy." So I was going to call the talk in the middle. Kiddushim, exploring how holiness sits in the middle of our lives, both in the sense that its teachings hold us and radiate inwardly and outwardly, but also because we are in the physical middle of the Torah when we're in Kiddushim, not the exact mathematical middle, which has been debated for centuries by those who counted the numbers of letters in Torah. Or the numbers of words, or the numbers of verses, and the numbers of chapters. But then, when I'd almost finished creating the talk on Kedoshim, I realized that this year we are actually in the week of Acharei Mot. And the mix-up is that in some years we read Acharei Mot at the same time, in the same week as Kedoshim. And sometimes Kedoshim stands on its own, in its own separate week. And sometimes Acharei Mot stands by itself, like this year. Oops. So in reality, we are in Acharei Mot, not Kiddushim. So that means I found myself temporarily without a drash to share with you. So I stubbornly decided to talk anyway, at least a little bit about Kiddushim, Acharei Mot's sister parasha. And then next year, Kiddushim will happily be joined again to Acharei Mot or on its own. And now, if you didn't understand any of what I just said, now you see the world I live in with confusion, a lot of confusion. But no problem, right? We just dive into the middle of the muddle, which could be the name of this talk, the middle of the muddle. So the parsha that we will read next week, Kiddushim, opens when God says to Moshe, "Speak to all the people, saying, Kiddushim Tehiyu, you will be holy, or you are holy, ki, because, kadosh ani, because holy am I." And then God signs God's name, ani, I, Havaya, Elohechem. I am, is, yeah, oh, I am, is breath, ruach, spirit that is guiding us now. So, if we weren't sure before what is the Torah's central teaching, the Parsha of Kedoshim, right in the middle of the whole Torah, says, "I am, you are holy because I am holy. And I am is what is holy." This sense of presence, selfhood. So in Kedoshim, we're in the middle of what it means to be interconnected to the flow of everything that leads into it and out from it. So, what is holiness? The Torah must hope we ask that question because its immediate response is a long list of to-dos and not-to-dos. Respect your parents, keep the Sabbath, don't make shiny molten gods. So, I watch my mind making shiny or dark molten gods. In the storm of thoughts and hopes and disappointments. And I think one of my molten gods is my reliance on my own mind, which I used to think was my ultimate guide. I can still feel the little girl inside me that when the teacher asked a question, I think this was like 6 years old in first grade, my arm shot up towards the sky. Ooh, 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 I know the answer. Please call on me. But I can't depend on the ease or speed of my mind, as I have, perhaps, demonstrated already, that I am tasked with ever new limits that I don't even know until I'm in the middle of the muddle, of the confusion, in the experience of confusion, of not knowing over and over, which perhaps is closer to our reality altogether. But that mind that thinks that's in charge is getting its comeuppance now. So the Torah continues with a when, what, how set of guides. What, when, how to plant, to eat, to not eat, to revere us old folks, and not to steal or lie, and not to insult the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. Dozens and dozens of laws follow. The impact that impact all aspects of our lives. And right in the middle of Torah, somewhere in the middle of the Parsha Kedoshim, which we'll read next week, is how to be holy. And it's that single verse, Ve'ahavta l'recha hachamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a tall order on both sides of the equation, right? Loving the self as it is, and loving the neighbor as he and she and it or they is. We chant that phrase in TBZ, but we leave out the two words at the end of this verse, ani, I, havaya, the unpronounceable, unnameable spirit. The one and only I am. And it's indefinable. It's unnameable presence. The I am is in the middle of this moment, in the middle of our being, no matter how muddled I may be, loving you and being loved, whether or not we can turn to notice that love. Maybe our whole practice of meditation, and perhaps our whole lives, are for the purpose of developing that capacity to love the self and love the neighbor as this self. Maybe one way to do that in meditation is to be present to this divine in-breath, breathing in, born anew into an ever new moment, an awareness of the out-breath as it fades out of existence. And then can we further notice that deep space in the split second between the last out-breath and the new in-breath? When I do pause, my actions come out a little more out of compassion than my instinctual anxiety. So right now, in the middle or the muddle of our repetitive stories and our habitual limited ways of seeing reality, the Torah says, stop, wake up, pay attention to what is unfolding in this moment. Pay attention to this divine breath of life that breathes us into existence in this divine moment, a moment that I have never lived before and never will again, whether or not time and space exist. In English, the word holy is singular, and I love that the Hebrew word for holiness can be plural. Kedoshim, holinesses, singular, kedosh, holy. All things that coexist within me, all things that cannot coexist within me, all the ways we exist in relationship to each other, with all those who have gone before us, and to those who will go on without us. So many unaccountable ways to be awake to these holinesses, that plural that doesn't exist in English. Can we open to the holiness of simply being alive? Which, even if we exist for a century, as my Aunt Anne is doing in this moment in Palm Desert, California, may her life be for a blessing. It is nevertheless still, our lives are just for a blink of an eye. So the Torah is always teaching that these lives of ours unfold in connection, in relationship. That our loneliness now is possible due to a lifetime of training within a society built on the false molten god of individualism, also known as greed, hatred, and delusion. So now, to further mix us up, I'm going to segue from Torah to that other event in the Jewish calendar that's happening as we speak, the counting of the Omer, which is a sleight of hand that I often pull when we're in the middle of the book of Vayikra, which also intersects in time with the counting of the Omer. The book of Vayikra devotes a lot of space to details of blood and guts, sacrifice of animals, which I'm sure Reb Moshe can illuminate for me each year. But for me, at this time of year, I shift into exploring the Sefirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, to find teachings for our practice that jump out of me, that jump out at me. So today, we're counting 10 days of the Omer, which is 1 week and 3 days out of a total of 49 days in the countdown to Sinai. We also count the Omer by inquiring how the number of the day aligns with the different days in the Kabbalistic tree of life. So day 10 today corresponds to the day of Tiferet in the Omer week of Givorah. So you may ask, what is the meaning of this day Tiferet in the week of Givorah? And you probably already know that each of the 49 days corresponds to a day in the Hebrew calendar. So being here now on the day of the 10th, we are about midway through a second week of Givurah. And in the middle of that week, we are in the day of Tiferet, Tiferet Shebe Givurah, the beauty within boundaries. Before the dawn this morning, a new day sprang into existence. And I love that the Hebrew calendar counts the days that are always born at night, just as the first rays of light grow from darkness to light up through the 10th day. Today is 1 week and 3 days of the Sefirat HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. Omer being the name for a sheaf of barley, which is carefully, nervously watched as the barley harvest grows to feed the community. The 10th day of this Omer week is 1 week and 3 days. And according to the Kabbalists' Tree of Life, Tiferet Shebet Gevurah, Gevurah is the rock upon which our lives and world can flourish. Gevurah is the limit setting, building a strong container. Givurah is boundaries. It sits opposite Chesed on that Kabbalistic chart. And Chesed is boundlessness, an unlimited flow of. Without Givura, that runaway love can create harm. But without love, Givura, boundaries or limits can be harsh. Tiferet's job is to balance Chesed and Givura in their constantly changing relationship to each other. And it can be understood in many ways as spirituality, balance, integration, beauty, compassion. So many names for Tiferet. Tiferet is that force that integrates two sefirot of chesed, boundless loving, kindness, with the boundaries of givura, strength, judgment, limits. You could say that Tiferet is right in the middle of the infinite ways that chesed and givura can combine. When chesed, loving kindness, is in balance with givura, boundaries, they birth Tiferet. These two forces are respectively expansive, giving, and restrictive, receiving. Either of them without the other could not manifest the flow of divine energy. Together, Chesed and Gevura flow into Tiferet. And this flow asks for balance in ever-changing proportions of loving kindness, Chesed, with discipline, Gevura. This balance is the role of Tiferet. She can harmonize conflicting forces. She enables creation to flower. Tiferet then divides herself into two streams, one of Netzach, endurance, and the second Hod, splendor. Tiferet is right in the middle of the tree of life. There's no other sfira that connects to so many other sfirot. And even though she's farther from the divine sfirot of Keter, Bina, and Chochmah, the top of the chart, she has direct connections with that realm, which is not an embodied realm. She is in the center, often rendered in yellow, as if she was the sun, radiating in all directions, illuminating all interconnection. One source I found said, quote, "In the light of that sun, nothing in this world disappears. Energy never dissipates. So a single action or project, in a single action or project, the good you put in will benefit humanity forever." Wow. How would my life be different if I believed that? Wow. Each of us has some aspect of Tiferet. We too radiate in all directions and leave things that will benefit humanity and probably leave some things not so good for humanity. I guess that's called karma, right? In the Kabbalistic tree of life, Tiferet is associated with the heart center. Last year, or was it 2 years ago, when some friends and family of David Breakstone, may his memory be a blessing, gathered at his grave, his wife, Sharon, brought some pens and books that David loved and asked us to take something home with us from that offering. I chose a book by Tibetan nun Pema Chodron, Start Where You Are, A Guide to Compassionate Living. In it, Pema details the Torah of Lojong. Lojong is a Buddhist training of the mind to awaken the heart to compassion with 59 slogans. Seems like a true cousin to our Omer counting of at 49 combinations. Pema writes, let your heart, so this is about the heart that is Tiferet this week, let your heart be touched. Then you begin to discover that it's bottomless, that it doesn't have any resolution, that this heart is vast and limitless. You begin to discover how much warmth and gentleness there is, as well as how much space. Your world seems less solid, more spacious. The burden lightens. It might feel like sadness or a shaky feeling, accompanied by fear. But your willingness to feel the fear, to make fear your companion, is growing. You're willing to get to know yourself at this deeper level. Then, this same feeling begins to turn into a longing to bring down all the walls, a longing to be fully human and to live without having to close off when certain things come along. To be of real help on this planet, immense, with an immense sense of well-being, which doesn't have anything to do with pleasant or unpleasant, good or bad, hope or fear. It simply comes when the heart is open. So I think that our Omer cousin, to the practice of the 59 slogans, is like God's scheming to reach for us over and over, moment after moment, day after day. Will this bring them closer to me? Can I ask them to bless their food before they take a bite? Can I ask them to love their neighbor as themselves? Pema writes, the idea of karma is that you continually get the teachings that you need in order to open your heart. To the degree that you didn't understand in the past how to stop protecting your soft spot, how to stop armoring the heart, you are given the gifts of teachings in the form of your life to give you everything you need to learn how to open further. Is that why, after a good meditation together, we open our eyes and ears to each other, and each one seems radiant? That like kind of speaks our heart, like the sunlight of Tiferet, through which both boundaries and boundlessness flow. This is where splendor and endurance, Hod V'Netzach, can find form. So Tiferet divides herself into two, into Netzach and Hod, splendor and endurance. Simon Jacobson, in his Guide to the Omer Counting, has this to say about this 10th day. It's not just love, but compassion that has to drive discipline. Love comes from recognizing one's merits and positive qualities. Discipline channels and directs those strengths and weed out negativity. Compassion is unconditional love. It's love just for the sake of love, not considering the other's position. Tiferet is a result of total selflessness in the eyes of God. You love for no reason. You love because you are a reflection of God. Can you be compassionate to someone who you have reproached? It's Simon Jacobson's order of the day. I think I'm going to stop there, so that we have time to speak to each other to hear each other, to feel each other's heart. So let's be silent for a moment.